1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Father, we ask now that you would just open our hearts as we continue to just look to you now. May we be tuned in so that we could say, Lord, let us hear what the Spirit, your Spirit, is saying to us today. May we have ears to hear and a heart to respond. For your glory and honor, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, he broke the bread and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he goes on, verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is a new covenant. That means it's a new agreement that God made with humanity. The first agreement failed not because the law was bad, but because we couldn't measure up. And it shows us that we need a Savior. So where we could not do for ourselves, God did for us. And the new covenant is, my son kept the righteous requirement of the law for you, and if you will receive him as the Lord of your life, confess him as Lord, then I'll give you his righteousness. So my righteousness, that's the new agreement, the new covenant. He says, this is the new covenant in my blood. I'm giving my life's blood to inaugurate this new covenant. And he said, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. When we share in communion, we remember the Lord. We remember the great price. We remember the love that goes beyond description that he has for us. We remember an agony that he suffered that is beyond human comprehension. Because he not only suffered physically, he suffered within and even in his soul with the rejection, the ridicule, the misunderstanding, the mockery, to spit upon him and to pull the beard from his face, to mock him, blindfold him, punch him and say, you're the Messiah, tell us who prophesied to us, who punched you. Then to go through the unmerciful beating with that cat of nine tails just ripping the skin off his body, and then on top of it all, to nail him, spike him to a tree, to a cross, and hang him up for 6 hours. But not just the physical. The Bible says his soul became an offering for sin. And that agony, we remember this great love that he had for us. We remember this great price that he paid to bring us back into right relationship with God. And we remember that 3 days later, he arose from the grave and conquered death. He defeated sin and Satan. And we remember that he's coming back for us one day. So we not only remember, we celebrate his victory. And in communion, I like the phrase, don't miss the communion in the communion. What I mean by that is, communion is to be a time of communion. It's to be a time of fellowship with our risen Lord, but it's also to be a time of fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with his body. In fact, 1 John opens with those words. It writes, he says, our fellowship, truly our fellowship is with one another, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So when we're in full communion and full fellowship with God and one another, it increases our joy. I don't want to speak for you, but I would dare say that every one of us here knows what it is to be out of fellowship with someone and how it can rob us of joy. So when we're in fellowship with God and one another, it gives us joy. And the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So it's a joyful time. It's a time to be strengthened. But then also the scripture gives us, and I want to say it like this, a loving warning when we come to this time together. And before I read these verses, I want to emphasize something. Because I remember, you know, in my past, and I'm not knocking anyone, I'm sure it was meant with the right intent. But, you know, we were told, if you got any sin in your life, or if you, you know, maybe something's not right, you better not partake of that. And certainly, you know, I was almost more fearful sometimes to take part of the Lord's Supper. And we're not to take it lightly. I'll read the warning here in just a moment. But the purpose is not to keep us away from the table. The purpose is so that we come to the table with a right heart in order to receive everything that Jesus purchased for us. Because in communion, again, we remember the cross. We remember the Lord. He died and rose again. He died to forgive our sins. But he offers, thank God, that would be enough. But he offers not just forgiveness of our sins. He offers grace right now in this life for every problem and trial. He offers peace in a troubled world. He purchased that for us as well. He purchased victory for us. He's a victor, but he gained victory for us. We can have victory in our lives. I'm not saying we always get it right. We don't stumble. I'm saying we can have ultimate victory because of what Jesus did for us. And we can have freedom. He purchased freedom for us. There is no chain the devil has that Jesus cannot unlock. And really that he already has unlocked. We just have to embrace that truth. Jesus purchased healing for us. So when we come to the table, it's to receive everything, to acknowledge him and everything that he did for us. So we come with faith and expectancy and receptivity for the Lord. If you're still looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, would you drop down to verse 27? 1 Corinthians 11, 27 says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner," notice that, please, "it's an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat." Do you see the purpose is not to keep us away? It's to draw us to. "Is so let him eat, examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup." Verse 29, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself." Notice this phrase, "not discerning the Lord's body." Not discerning the Lord's body. And then verse 30, "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many have died." That's what the phrase sleep means. So not discerning the Lord's body can have a negative effect in our body. And so the word for us then is discern the Lord's body. Discern the Lord's body so we get the full benefit and the full blessing of what he did for us. Discern the Lord's body. Would you say that with me? Discern the Lord's body. And the Lord's body, there are two applications here. Of course, it refers to his physical body. And I looked up the word discern here. It just is a real simple definition, but it means to make a distinction. So discern the Lord's body is we make a distinction between the body of Jesus and any other body. We honor the body of our Lord as special and unique. The body of Jesus was sinless. The body of Jesus was virgin born. The body of Jesus bore the judgment of God for our sins on the cross. And the body of Jesus physically came back to life from the dead. And his body is seated on his throne right now in heaven at the right hand of his Father. So we honor the body of Jesus. We discern the body of Jesus, but the body of Jesus also refers to the church. Let me read this scripture to you still in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15 says, "I speak to you as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" And then notice, "For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." When I say the church, I'm not just talking about like church services and gatherings of people in religious buildings. I'm talking about every born-again, Christ follower who has been birthed by and is indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. Every born-again believer, the Holy Spirit places into the body of Christ, and we also are the body of Christ. And so he says, discern the Lord's body. Discern his physical body, his glorified, risen body, but discern this body too. Discern the Lord's body. And in this particular instance, what was happening is some of the people were not discerning. In fact, they were harming the Lord's body because of how they were treating their brothers and sisters in Christ. So I want to read it again, just keep it in context here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. He says, now in giving you these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part or to some extent, I believe it. For there must also be divisions, factions among you, that those who are approved, that means those who are approved by God, may be recognized among you. Let me pause there a second. You know, when there are kind of like little divisions and contentions, those who really want to follow God and do His will become evident. I can think back and look back, and you could look at a brother or sister and say, you know what? They just kept themselves above any of that stuff. They were peacemakers. They didn't just avoid, you know, talking about issues, but they wanted unity in the body of Christ, and they were willing to make practical steps to make it happen. Discerning the Lord's body. He was saying, some of you are coming together, and you're not leaving better. You're leaving worse because of what you're doing. So let me continue on. I'll pick up back there where we left off. Again, this is in verse 20, 1 Corinthians 11, 20. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not just that you're eating the Lord's Supper. See, they had like more of a big meal. And notice what they were doing, verse 21. He says, for in eating, each one of you takes his own supper ahead of others. And one's hungry, one's drunk. They were bringing their own bottles. And verse 22 says, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Are you despised? Do you look down on? Do you disregard and disrespect the church of God? He says, and shame those who have nothing. See, when they were coming together, it was like they weren't worried about everybody else. They were wanting to butt in, head of the line. Hey, I'm getting my grub. I don't care if anybody else has anything or not. But it was that kind of a selfish attitude that was causing problems. They weren't recognizing, hey, we're the Lord's body right here. And when we come together, sure, I want to go to church and get something out of church. And I believe there's a place for that, certainly. But see, I think we've taken it too far to an extreme that just simply says it's all about me. And, you know, when I go to church, or maybe I don't even need to go to church because I can just watch the TV, and thank God for good ministries. I watch them, I support some myself. But there's a place where we think about one another. The Bible says that one reason we're to gather together is to stir up one another to love and good works, and to encourage one another and build up one another. So to discern the Lord's body, they weren't doing that. They were actually tearing the body down and dishonoring it rather than coming together and saying, hey, I'm a part here, but so are you. Brother, sister, why don't you go ahead of me? You see the heart? You see what was taking place? And then toward the end of that chapter, I wanted you to get the context. This is before he gives instructions on the Lord's Supper, and then right after he gives instructions on the Lord's Supper, those last two verses, 1 Corinthians 11, 33, says, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And if someone's hungry, if you're that hungry, go ahead and eat you something before you come. Go ahead and eat at home, and then come together. So don't come together for judgment. Discern the Lord's body. Would you say that with me? Discern the Lord's body. And I want to just share, we got to live this out, make it very practical. Two truths here. But before I do, and we'll stay right here in 1 Corinthians, but I want to read you a verse from, or a couple verses from 1 Timothy. We'll put them on the screen if you want to write it down. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And before I read the verse, I want to broaden on that a little bit. Discern the Lord's body as the people of God, as the body of Christ, the church. Because the church of Jesus is not just another group or organization in the world. Jesus said the church is the salt of the earth. In other words, we are to be a preserving flavor in a decaying world system. He said, you are the light of the world. We're to be the light of Jesus and the light of the good news to people who are still in darkness of sin and spiritual death. And then this scripture here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, we read these words, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That word pillar is like a supporting beam, a supporting column, and ground there is usually translated foundation. The church is to be the supporting foundation, the supporting pillar of God's revealed truth. And we are living in an age of increasing satanic deception coming in like a flood. And we need to embrace truth for ourselves, but as a people of God, we need to build our lives on it and use it as a support that the world can know there is a different way. And there really is a God who loves you, and you can know Him too, and He can change your heart and change your life. Discern the Lord's body. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, He said, I couldn't even write to you as spiritual people because there are divisions among you. And He said, because one of you is saying, well, I'm of Paul. And one saying, well, I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Christ. And some of them still had the words right. Even the one saying, I'm of Christ. But that wasn't what it's about. We're all of Christ. And they were separating each of themselves by saying, well, we like this pastor, and we like that pastor. That's preference. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It becomes a problem when we allow it to divide us in the body of Christ. And we allow it to separate us. Because it says here that you're still carnal. That means it would be like if we're letting envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and believing like mere men? That means if we are so in discord and division in the body of Christ, it would be like we're living like an unbeliever who doesn't even have God's Holy Spirit. So the Lord He loves His church, and He's passionate for His church, and He wants us to build up one another and to encourage and be protective of the church. So discern the Lord's body, and again, let's never compromise essential scriptural truth. Now, when I say essential scriptural truth, I'm not talking about the details about how Jesus is going to return. I'm talking about the deity of Jesus, the Son of God. Because if we cannot agree that He is the virgin-born Son of God and God the Son, we don't serve the same God. But if we can agree on those basic foundation, essential teachings and the truths of God's Word, then we can disagree about some things. And you know where I believe more division comes from rather than disagreeing over some teaching? It's a disagreement we have because we can't get along with somebody close to us. And we allow those little personal whatevers to fester and to cause division in the body of Christ. Let's never compromise truth, but by God's grace, let's seek to work out our differences. Let's seek to work out our disagreements and do it for the greater good of God's glory. Discern the Lord's body. Let me give you these two applications real quick. Number one, first of all, realize that we is greater than me. Realize that we is greater than me. As members of the Lord's body, we get to be a part of what God is doing in the world today. Thank God I love hearing praise reports from right here, but I love hearing them from around the world too, because God sees us as one. We get to be a part. It's not like, oh, I got to serve God. No, we get to be a part of what God is doing. It's a privilege. It's an honor to serve the Lord. And so the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 12:24. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 24 says this, that our presentable parts have no need. He's trying to just put it in context here. It really picks up where it says, but God. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, so that there should be no schism or no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer. If one member's honored, then all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. You know, our God-ordained purpose is connected to God's overall purpose for His church. So if I just purposely, you know, just kind of neglect the church, and I know some people can't be here. In fact, I'll say this to some who are streaming. I know we have one brother. We have several people. They can't physically be here right now. That's different. Their heart is here. Some people, they could outside of a pandemic, but they don't because it's not in their heart. So the Lord wants His body to be a priority in our heart and to discern the body that way. So He says that you have a purpose. Don't you know God doesn't just do things? He has a purpose for everything He does. And if we're here, we have a purpose. This is our time. It's our generation. And the Lord has a purpose for us, and we can fulfill it by genuine care for one another. That's what He was saying. One member suffers, hey, we're joining in you, with you. If you rejoice, I'm not jealous of you. Let's rejoice together. And we're sharing, discern the Lord's body. Again, it comes back to the table because we want to walk in the fullness of the blessings that Jesus purchased for us. So discern the Lord's body. And this scripture says here, you're members of one another. And I think we all have a natural tendency to be kind of self-focused and maybe just self-pleasing. But God gave us a way to rise above that tendency by caring for one another. All these 20 different commandments in the New Testament that are related to encouraging others, praying for one another, loving each other, building each other up, that gets us out of just the I'm in it for me mindset and to see what I can do to build up the body of Christ. And I can tell you that it's not our, like, you have to do a certain level of, I'm all for study, I'm a lifelong learner. That's the way I see myself. I'll never arrive in this life, but please don't wait until you think you've arrived before you serve the Lord. God has a purpose for you. And part of how we fulfill that and discover it is you just begin to serve the Lord. And God will guide you and lead you. I can tell you that we get a sense of joy and a sense of fulfillment knowing that we are doing God's will and that our service to Him is blessing others and giving us eternal rewards. So the we is greater than me. And then would you turn to Ephesians chapter 4? We'll close here. Ephesians chapter 4. May God give us such a revelation that we never partake of communion in the same way. It's going to be even more special, a greater blessing. Discern the Lord's body. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll read a few verses beginning in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, Jesus Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. So to prepare, to train, to equip the saints, that is all, you know, the people of God, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So we have a place. It's not about who's in the limelight and who isn't. Whatever you do for the Lord is important and it's special and it's needed. So He says He's called us to equip the saints so that the people of God can do the ministry so that everyone's built up. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then verse 15, I'll close with these last two verses. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working. Would you say effective working? To the effective working by which every part, would you say every part? By which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So we is greater than me, and then this final application, what is my share? If every part is to do its share, then Lord, what is my share? What is my responsibility? What is your call on my life? Again, we don't have to wait for some grand revelation. I saw these fiery letters in the sky. No, just begin to serve. And God will put it in your heart. I'm telling you, he will direct you. I was a church treasurer for 2 years. It wasn't wasted. It wasn't my passion. It wasn't my calling. But do you know God used it since that time? Guess what I have to do to some degree now? I have to be involved in the workings of the finances of the church. And so it was a good experience for me. So it's not wasted. But what is my share? I'm studying. I never got my degree. Most of you probably know that. And so I've been in school for a year online, and I'm actually in my last week of biology this upcoming week. And for the first time, I've never had to do this, but I'm going to be doing double duty because I start a third level theology class this week as well. So I got biology and theology going on top of every, this week. But I'm telling you, I knew some of these things in school, but how God designed our body is so incredible. I mean, from a doctor and he loves biology and does the research. A few weeks ago, I was studying the systems of our body. Your digestive system, the endocrine system, muscular, lymphatic, everything, and how they all work together. Every part works to contribute to the whole. God designed the body so that every part contributes to the health and protection and well-being of the whole body. And don't you know that God wants that in the body of Christ? The Lord wants every part to contribute to the health and the protection and the well-being of the Lord's body. Discern the Lord's body. I want to just, again, I'm going to ask you something not for you to answer out loud, but just to make it personal as we get ready to come to the table today. Whatever you may have done in the past, I want to ask you as of today, what will you do to contribute? How will you contribute to the Lord's body? Doesn't matter what anyone else does, I'm asking you, how will you? You can do something, and you have an important part to play. And brothers and sisters, how we live matters. We either weaken the body of Christ or we strengthen the body of Christ by how we live. We're in this together. And I'll close with this thought. Committed followers of Jesus need each other. I want to say that again. Committed followers of Jesus need each other. And we may realize that more in the days to come. So as we come to the table today, let's just examine ourselves and make sure that we're straight with the Lord. If you know you've done something, you just got a barrier between your heart and God, Jesus paid the price to remove that barrier. Just agree with him, repent, and then by faith receive today. If you got something that between a brother or sister, would you just ask God to help you work out the details to smooth that thing out for the greater good? And let's just come to the table today. No condemnation. No fear. Let's come with expectancy. Let's come with faith. Let's receive everything that Jesus so lovingly and graciously provided for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we stand together?